Well, sure is, and we're going to take your phone calls with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman next as we talk about 11-11, the time prompt phenomenon. Share some of your stories with us as well. We'll be back. Marie, when people say they have a lucky number, whatever it may be, is that true? Do they have a lucky number? Do things happen with that number?
Sure. And I think it goes back to the same concept of attaching meaning to something. If you see enough things happen in your life that are associated with the number 14, that will become your lucky number. The thing is, everybody likes to pick number 7, but then you hear them all saying, how come I don't win the lottery? How come I don't do this? Well, I think choosing a lucky number is really more about taking notice of the numbers that may be showing up a lot in your life, rather than just picking one because everybody else does or because somebody said that 7 was lucky and 13 wasn't. I think, again, it's a combination of your own belief, and I am a firm supporter of the power of intention, your own intention to find luck, and the fact that you believe that these number associations that keep showing up in your life are trying to teach you something.
I've always thought 4, which is my birth date, was my lucky number.
Yeah.
It seems to be for me.
I'm trying to think of, I really don't have one.
Larry, do you?
Actually, I do. The number 13, believe it or not.
That's a great number.
Yeah.
It is. That actually is a lucky number for me.
Well, you know what? That's interesting, because when we do sometimes our Friday the 13th open lines, people will call in, and there's always somebody who loves Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's their favorite number. You know what? And maybe it's a state of mind.
Well, I think
I think it definitely is. There's many countries where number 13 really is considered an unlucky number. If you go to some high-rise buildings, they purposely omit the 13th floor for exactly that reason. It probably is only as lucky or unlucky as you consider it.
Absolutely.
Some people, it may be they had a horrible experience that happened on that particular day, and going forward in life, they then associated that bad experience with that particular day. Some people may have had great experiences on that day, and again, they go forward in life thinking that that's a wonderful day. And then there's some people that probably don't care either way. Number 13 is just another number, and not one to really be concerned with or to pay more attention to than any other.
Let's go to the phones. Reno, Nevada gets us going. Stephanie, you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, George. I have a synchronicity that's been happening. It started about a year and a half ago, and I've experienced the 444 and the 1111 for about 15 years, but this is something new that started happening. And what happens is I'll be on the computer, and I'll type a word, and then I'll look at the TV, and then there the word is within like a second, or somebody will say the word on the TV. Or maybe I'll be listening to the radio, and there it is. Or even having a conversation, I'll say a word, and then there it is. I'll look up at the TV, and there it is. And it's happening like 3 or 4 times a day. It's so dramatic that it doesn't seem possible that it could be coincidental. And it can be any word. The word doesn't seem to have any significance. Just the fact that it's the same word that I'm seeing or hearing somewhere
right.
else. I was wondering if you have heard of that happening.
Well, absolutely. It doesn't have to be numbers. It can be words. It can be images. I've had that happen so many times. I kind of think that God, whatever you want to call that sort of universal intelligence, is a jokester, and likes to drive us crazy. But again, there may not be a real profound reason why you might see the word basketball 25 times in one day, other than your brain picked up on it a couple of times, created that new neural connection, that new pathway was made, and now you're going to see it everywhere. The word probably was always there, and maybe it was there yesterday, too. It was mentioned a dozen times. You just didn't notice because you weren't thinking about the word basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times it's just our brains.
I will say, though, it isn't a specific word like basketball. It happens anywhere from 4 to 7 times a day, and it's just random words.
It's a different
word every time.
Pay attention. I really keep going back to those two words because this is what it seems to me, that when these things happen, the meaning may not be as big as we think it is. It just may be that we're being asked to pay attention, get in the present moment. Because if those things didn't happen, you probably would just sort of, you know, be daydreaming or doing what you're doing, not even really being in the moment and just letting the day go by. But when those things happen, what's the first thing you do? You become alert.
666 seems to be kind of ominous. Does anybody ever talk about that number, that sequence?
I saw a T-shirt that says 668, the neighbor of the beast, and I love that. You know, it's just a number. I mean, yeah, it's got that whole mythology behind it from Revelation, but nobody knows what it means. Nobody knows what it's supposed to be indicating or who that person is. And so what happened is now you've created this sort of cult of negativity around three simple digits. And in numerology, of course, we're told that you've got to add those up, which means you get the number 9, because 6 and 6 and 6 is 18, then you add 8 and 1 and you get 9. So I think the significance only comes from the people that ascribe to that particular religious belief.
Let's go to Pismo Beach, California. First-time caller Kevin is with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, George. Hey, I just want to say thank you for all the truck drivers out here. We look forward to the 10 o'clock hour. And
thank you.
Let's drive in, let me tell you. There's a lot of dull moments out here, but not when you're on the air, let me tell you.
Very kind.
Listen, there is a situation that always happens to me, and my odometer on my truck, and I see it constantly when it is rolling over to a solid number, say 33,333. It'll be 1/10 of a mile, but I'll always look at the odometer and watch it roll over to a solid set of numbers. And I don't see, it's not in my peripheral vision. I actually have to look up over my steering wheel to see my odometer. But something tells me all the time to look up over my odometer. And I'll be damned if all the time when this happens, it is rolling over to a solid set of numbers.
Maybe it's telling you, hey, look, buddy, you're out there driving. Do you drive on the Grapevine? Or are you further?
Oh, yes, all over the Grapevine,
so
all the time.
On the Grapevine,
time.
I'm familiar with it. Pay attention. Yeah. You know, maybe just sort of trying to snap you awake. Because I know, you know, if you're driving for a long time, you can sort of go off into that zone. And it's hard to explain these things, but I just think it comes back to wanting us to snap to attention.
Well, it happens so often, it almost gets to a scary point. You know, it's just like you almost know when you look over your steering wheel, you know you're rolling over to another solid set of numbers.
But see, now you're getting into that, could you be causing it to happen?
Yeah.
You know? We haven't talked too much about that.
It's just wild to me, and I just didn't know if there's anything to it or if it's just premonition or if it's just something you've trained your brain to do.
Well, okay, so every time that happens, what's going on?
What? Nothing.
Nothing. You're just out there late at night. You're the only one on the road. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's either something is playing with us, which if that's the case, great. You know, there's something out there that's playing with us. Or it's just your brain is trying to get you to just sort of be alert, pay attention. And it may have no meaning at all. I mean, we do have to kind of think about that. Maybe there is no meaning behind it other than, wow.
That's true.
Life is strange.
Let's go to Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Ron, you're up with us.
Hi, George.
Hey, Ronnie.
A little while ago, you were asking about if people could see the future.
Yes.
And I really believe that people can see the future because, you know, I've had a couple of small experiences with just dreams that were, you know, emotional events, I believe, can cause a premonitional dream in the present from the future. And I think that more people are starting to have them. And I think it could be due to emotional events in the near future in this country and,
true,
you know, earth changes causing that. And I think that people will, even as the time grows closer, have more in the you know, global consciousness will start to realize that we're all almost aware of it before it happens.
Well, I think you're right.
Actually change it, you know.
I think you're right. Thanks for the comments. Want to react to that, Marie or Larry?
You know, my own dreams have been getting much more bizarre and disturbing. And I think, again, we're a product of our times. And if the emotional mindset of the populace is negative, which it is right now, I think we're going to be seeing people having more disturbing, distressing dreams and also more precognitive, because we want so badly to know if the future is going to be okay. So a lot of us are going to start thinking about what's the future going to be like. And maybe that's opening up our own ability to tap into the future.
Good point. Next up, let's go to Carla in Columbus, Indiana. You're up with us. Hey, Carla.
Hi. This is a real honor. I have the dilemma when I'm with my grandchildren and watch a lot of cartoons. We'll be talking about maybe it's a rainy day, and can I use the umbrella? And as soon as we go out into the living room and the TV's on, Dora happens to be talking about her umbrella. I got a lot of that. I run into having conversations with children as I'm walking into the next room. The TV's repeating the same thing. No, Boots, we don't open the umbrella in the house. Or it's very similar. So that's kind of unsettling. But I had something that just recently happened, a project that has been under work on two different sides of the country, one in Pennsylvania and one here. I've waited for 7 months for this project to come together different eight ways. I got a call January the 13th that part of it was done. I was surprised it was coming together. I had to take a break, go down to another town. When I was in that town, I was tickled to death that the project's coming together. I pull up to get gas. There is these roses all over the ground in packages. And I kept asking everybody that was in the area, like, are these yours? And the response was, I've never seen those. They look like they're for you. They weren't there a minute ago. I get home that afternoon. The second part of the project from the other end of the country is here. And it just correlates with 6 months prior, I had lost my husband, and he had asked me to continue working on that project. And in one day, I not only get one part of it, I got roses in between and got the rest of it all in one day.
Well, that's a great story. I'm glad you got the project. But, you know, when things like that happen, it's those cosmic giggles. It's just a reminder that there's something bigger than all of us. And I think you were being congratulated by somebody.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
For people to be getting these numbers and these things happening.
Yeah. And we've all had those experiences. You know, even the most diehard skeptics have had synchronistic experiences. They'll come up with all kinds of ways to sort of explain it themselves out of it, but everybody has had them. I think if you're human and you've got consciousness and you've got a brain and you're aware that you're going to have them. But that's just one of those really neat stories.
Off to San Francisco we go with Adam on Coast to Coast. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to say it's a pleasure talking to all of you. I think it's synchronicity that we're all talking right now.
Hey.
Probably.
So around 1999, almost when it hit 2000, it started, and I started to see 11-11 consecutively, probably, I would say, maybe 30 times it happened to me between 2 months, and it was completely random. And, you know, I agree with all these people saying that, you know, they don't know why it's happening. And then in 2006, it stopped. And George said that, you know, recently it started again. But I've been recently seeing 12-34, which I thought was pretty strange. And I was wondering, you guys haven't talked about that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What's the significance of that, Maria or Larry?
Again, that's another common time prompt to see numbers in sequential order. And one thing that I was just thinking, and I'll let Larry give his opinion, is that, you know, it might very well be that certain times there is something that's going to happen to us at that time if we continue to pay attention. So I would be really curious for anybody who's going through this to write down whatever happens to them when they see the time prompts, because maybe you're being warned that, okay, now I'm going to give you 11-11 for 3 months because in month four, you're going to get that job or something's going to happen, but only if you stay alert. So, that, I mean, that's just something that I thought of. And the fact that your numbers have changed, now something else is coming into the picture.
Has anybody ever, for example, seen like 246 and then all of a sudden they get into a car crash and they're hit by a car with a license plate 246?
Oh, absolutely.
That does happen.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. You know, we've heard of all kinds of stories. People, you know, the number 5378 will keep coming up and then they'll find out that that's the address of their long-lost brother. And it just all kinds of strange things. And again, we have to pay attention to those numbers.
Let's go to Florida. Don, you're up with us. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I just wanted to add on to what one of your guests said about the Uncle George scenario.
Yes.
And I have a personal belief that it is a corrupt moment in time. And what I mean by that is, what synchronicity is with Uncle George scenario, and I have this happen all the time. I'll think the same thing. I haven't spoke to a friend of mine, St. Mark, in 3 years. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I think it, it comes right after
it happens.
It's supposed to happen. In other words, we're in a program, and when something doesn't go right in the program, there's a trigger or a mechanism within us that brings it to thought, hey, I haven't spoken to Uncle George in 30 years. But the fact of the matter is that you're supposed to talk to Uncle George, but there was something corrupt or a glitch in the program. Because let me tell you, The Matrix is my favorite movie. I've probably seen it 300 times. And I'm telling you right now, there's so much to that movie. Because when you think about the brain, well, it acts on electrical impulse. And everything that we see, everything that we hear, we're talking electrical impulses. Our brain deciphers it. So it's like we are in a computer-type program almost, and when you really think about it.
And Don, let me ask you, do you think you create the scenario, or is the scenario already out there?
I believe that it's already out there, but there's a flexibility in the program where that you can insert certain things either consciously and sometimes subconsciously.
That's a good point, because Marie, not everybody is tuned in to this.
No, of course not. No.
No.
In fact, I would say, you know, most people aren't.
No, they're not. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, along those lines of thinking, I definitely would agree with Marie. I think that some people tend to be more intuitive, or some people tend to be more tuned in, really. I mean, if you think about the radio, think about a radio. You know, there's AM, FM, shortwave. There's all kinds of frequencies that are constantly bombarding us. They're flying around the airwaves at all the time. But unless you actually tune in to those specific frequencies, you don't hear it. In other words, unless you're physically or emotionally, mentally, psychologically tuning into this, you're not hearing it.
Well, that is absolutely true. The name of the book that we're talking about tonight is 1111. The Time Prompt Phenomenon, Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman. You can get it at most major bookstores, Amazon.com as well. Their website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. They have a couple, paraexplorers.com and mariedjones.com, and also arpast.org. Mine, of course, coasttocoastam.com, which is going through a brand new website design, which almost is finished. They've added a few more incredible pieces to the website, and so it took a few more weeks longer than it's supposed to, but it's getting finished. I'll be back with more calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, are you a member of StreamLink? Pick up some past shows, do some podcasting, just have a great time for pennies a month. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. Click the StreamLink link, and you can sign up for StreamLink. It's a great tool, part of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman. Their work, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. Marie, when people are talking with their friends, they bring this up. You know, I see 1111 all the time. How many of those people that are part of that conversation would probably say the same thing?
I have been... Well, let's say, for example, I've been with maybe three or four people, And if I mention, oh, you know, Murray, what's your new book? And I mention the title, and I'd say half. I would say two of them would say, I have had that happen to me. And I would say that all of them have had synchronistic experiences. Maybe not with 1111, but they'll say, oh, you know, this one day this song kept playing 25 times a day. So, you know, it's not always the 1111 thing. But I know, you know, and Larry's had the same thing happen. Every time we've mentioned this book to people that we thought probably knew nothing about it, they would say, oh, my God, I've been having that happen for years.
Did you ever go to Vegas?
A couple of times.
Okay, so you play a little blackjack. They deal you a 20.
Oh, God.
You sit back and you go, I know he's got a blackjack. And the dealer flips it over, and sure enough, it's a blackjack. What is that?
Luck.
Is that what that, or
it's
bad
the
luck?
Luck of the draw.
Bad luck on
and
our
you
part.
You know what? I would quit while I was ahead. Because I know a lot of people that go to Vegas, and they do have that happen, and then they try it again, and it happens, and they try it again, and it happens. Then the next 27 times they try it, they lose their house. So,
yeah. Let's go to Yakima, Washington, west of the Rockies. Chad, take it away, Chad.
Yes, sir. George and Marie, thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Great to hear you. Got another theory on the other side of synchronicity. What if it's not a glitch in the matrix? What if it's actually the design? What if RNA in our bodies, you know, DNA makes you who you are. RNA is everything else. What if when we experience synchronicity and deja vu and many of these other experiences that all humans experience, what if it's our RNA opening
yes.
up into the infinite? And in that moment, we do glimpse and feel like, whoa, I've seen this before, because, yes, you have seen it before.
And it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not to invalidate it or say it's a physical phenomenon. I think it's actually, if we're only using 10% of our brain, what's that other 90% for? Maybe those are sparks opening up so that we're starting to see things in a different way.
All right, who wants to take that?
Larry?
Larry?
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What do you think? Oh, I
don't know where he is.
Yeah, Larry, we
are you there?
Now I can hear you, but yeah, you keep cutting out.
That was weird. Okay. No, I was saying I think it's a very plausible possibility. You know, I think that if you look at the possible design of the matrix or whatever really you want to call it, the grid, I think it's possible, sure. That definitely is possible. Have you had a lot of experiences like that before?
Absolutely. I actually focus on it and consciously aware, you know, try to make these occur. And I think more and more people, as they recognize them, they're experiencing them more and more, not just with the 1111, but synchronistic experiences where they know there's meaning in the ordinary things of their life.
Right. And another thing, too, that we talked about a little bit is the fact that, you know, we're told that there may be parallel universes.
Yes.
So something like deja vu.
Right.
If we exist in all of these other universes, there is always that possibility that we're experiencing the same thing in two different universes at the same time. But something, you know, in one of the universes will happen a little bit differently, which is why deja vu does not continue. It's a very brief event. And I've always believed that that's what it was. You're getting a glimpse of yourself in that parallel universe. But because parallel universes ascribe to the fact that when you make a different choice, it branches off into another universe, the event ends as soon as that different choice is made.
Whoever designed all this, and we'll call it God, of course, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, a total computer geek.
God is not a computer geek.
God, but it really does make
the claws are going to part on you, Marie.
It really does make you wonder, though, about the possible intelligent design of everything.
It sure does. Let's go to Herb in Palmetto, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Herb.
Hello.
Yep.
How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Thanks.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sort of addicted to your show since I first found it the night you had the gentleman from Yellowstone on and we spoke.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you did.
I don't know if you remember or not, I'm the second guy he found that survived from that earthquake.
That's right.
But that's neither here nor there. What I'm calling about is this number thing has been happening to me for, oh, golly, 6-7 months, and I had no idea of the concept. I work security. I'm a retired police officer, and I work security now. And when I was on afternoon shift, every night, inevitably, I'd look at the clock, and it would be 11:11. Well, now I'm on midnight to 8, and it seems like one or two or three, four nights a week, I'll look at the clock, I'll see 1:11, 2:11, 3:33. On and on that a night, while Marie was talking earlier, I looked down and I saw 222. Well, while I was waiting to get for you to pick up, I did a patrol around, pulled back, turned the clock on, and guess what time it was? 3:33.
I'm telling you,
I have absolutely no idea why this is occurring to me, none whatsoever.
But it is.
It is, and I thought it would be extremely interesting to see what kind of comment your guests had about.
All right, go ahead, Marie.
I think just the fact that this is happening to, and again, I would say the vast majority of people, that there is some great mystery going on here. And again, we can say that it's got something to do with the brain and the fact that this gentleman, like everyone else, after maybe the second or third time it happens, you start to, it becomes almost habitual that you're going to notice those times. It's become ingrained in you. It's sort of like, okay, now it's all yours. But again, it just seems like it's happening on such a collective level that there's more to the story than we're just being toyed with or our brains are just playing games with us.
Sometimes, Marie, I have a digital clock in front of me here in L.A., right? And sometimes I'll just keep it on as a stopwatch, you know, for my live commercials and things. So I got to watch my little clock. But sometimes I'll just let it run and then I'll reset it when I'm ready to go to a break. Almost all the time, when I peek down at it, it's got 11 minutes and 11 seconds on it or something like
wow.
that. It's not a clock. It's a stopwatch. It's an electronic stopwatch. And that's weird. I can't get away from it. And Herb, you're the same way. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, you're right. I have one other quick question.
Sure.
And it's something that's I thought about for years. And I don't know what your guests think about it, but as you and everyone else is well aware, we don't use all of our brain. What is the possibility of this matrix that someday we will learn to interconnect with everybody again? Because I think we had the ability before where everybody's brain will interconnect because of these numbers.
Hmm.
Larry, you want to comment on that first?
Well, that's a toss-off, Marie, isn't it? Take it, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
I think that definitely, like you said, that was an ability that people had a long time ago. And I think one of the reasons why we've lost it is because of information, because of the overload of technology. We have machines that'll do everything for us. Why do we need to pay attention? Why do I need to connect with anyone? I can go on my computer. But it could be a return to that awareness of the connectedness. And again, this is not woo-woo new age stuff. I mean, we've got physicists telling us that there is this web of connectivity.
Say that again, woo-woo?
Woo-woo. Okay. Woo-woo! Because a lot of people are turned off by that. They want to know that there's some kind of scientific basis for these things, and there is. That doesn't take away from the magic or the mystery of it.
Not at all. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Stephanie, another Stephanie is on with us. Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Let me turn my speaker. Okay, hello. I just wanted to say that I've always been intuitive about numbers, and my birthday is February 2nd, which is 2-2.
That's my daughter's.
Oh, really?
Same thing. Yep. Groundhog Day.
Yes. But I've always seen 222, and I guess since listening to your show, I've noticed 11:11, 1:11, many others. But I kind of think that noticing that all my life, I mean, like all my life, and I'm 51 now, that I've celebrated it. I wonder about it. It's a curiosity to me. But every time I notice it, it's a celebration to me. Like, ooh, what's this about? I don't know. Like when I turned, I don't even remember. I think I was 44 on 02-02-02. And I invited 22 friends to eat at a restaurant called Two Amigos. And we all ordered number 22s. It was a Mexican restaurant.
Okay, so with these kinds of numbers, and she brings up something pretty interesting. What happens in the year 2011, okay? November 11, 2011. So you got 11-11-11. Do you think anything weird will happen, Marie?
No, I don't, because, I mean, if you ascribe to numerology, you'd have to add all those numbers up to get your master number. And even if you don't, I would think that the weird stuff would happen on 11-11-1111. You know, if we're going to go with that logic. No, I don't. I think what I like about what this woman is saying is that she has learned to take these time prompts and make them into something positive and even something empowering. That every time they happen now, she says, yeah, you know, this is so cool. And that may very well be what they're meant to do. But I don't necessarily think anything special is going to happen on a date just because it has some 11s in it. Now people will say, oh, 9-11. Well, okay, that's fine. That could be part of why the number 11 in recent years has become so prominent. Again, you know, if we have another event like that occur on the 11th of a particular month, then more people are going to be aware of the number. So it's that contagion thing.
Could this just be a biological quirk of the brain?
You know, you got to wonder if somebody, like I said, if somebody outside of us is playing a trick on us, or if it's just the brain wants so desperately, and I'll let Larry finish this with finding a pattern.
I think that's definitely the case. I think, you know, as we talked about, our brain really is that's our programming. We are designed and built to look for patterns. And I think a lot of it really can be explained using that explanation. It's interesting. I just got an email from a gentleman that's telling me that he's listening to your show and that he's never had an 11-11 experience until tonight.
See, there we go.
Oh, no, look what we started.
Yeah, so, you know, actually, I was going to ask the question to you, Marie. Do you think that just by the fact of us being on the show tonight, do you think maybe we are acting as a trigger, perhaps, for people? We are, you know, making people become perhaps more aware of the time.
Oh, absolutely. I can guarantee, and George, I'm sure you're going to find this out when you're inundated with 11-11. That we are all going to be getting tons of 11-11 emails over the next few days.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Ray in Gainesville. You are up with us on the wild card line. Hey, Ray.
Hey, George. Listen, I really think that this whole subject of numbers is a train car full of horse hockey, and I really wish this subject wouldn't mess up my nighttime radio listening pleasure.
Now, let me ask you, though, Ray. Do you see 11-11 at all, ever?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you ever see 11-11?
Yes, I see it once in a while on the clock and stuff. And the same with 8. I've never noticed any difference in numbers having an effect in my life.
Okay. Now, that's an interesting question, Marie and Larry. He doesn't see any difference in his life.
Well,
should you?
Well, I don't think necessarily that everybody will have an experience. As we talked about before, you know, there's a good possibility that some people are more open to having an experience than others. There are some people that are much more, for lack of a better word, really intuitive about it. And just because this particular gentleman's not having an experience, you know, I don't think negates the phenomena whatsoever. I mean, there are so many people that are reporting the phenomena that, you know, I think that it's probably a more rare situation that he's not.
It doesn't work for everybody.
Oh,
it does
no.
not work for everybody.
It's just like not everybody can sing well.
Let's go to Vancouver, Canada, where I'll be next Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. Kathleen, welcome to the show. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I see 11-11 frequently. Sometimes I'll see it in the morning and then see it again at night. But I have unbelievable synchronicity happening to me all the time, like just unbelievable coincidences. So, for example, tonight we had the lovely Reverend Michael Beckwith was in Vancouver.
Oh, I love Michael.
Oh, my God.
He's wonderful.
Oh, my God, and his wife. So I'm there, and my niece is there, and I drive her to her car. We're sitting in the car. On my clock, it shows 11-11. I said, oh, look, 11-11. And I said, I get this all the time, and it's like the power of this number. And then I said, I have this all this synchronicity and that. We give each other a hug goodbye. She gets out of her car, or out of my car, goes in hers. I turn up the volume at Coast to Coast. It's always on there. And you're talking about 1111 and your book and synchronicity. I'm like, oh, my God, it's happened again. Another one just the other night. I'm going to give you three examples.
Sure.
Another one. The other night, the dinner news is on. A commercial comes on. This beautiful piece of music that I absolutely love. It's classical music. It's not a common thing. And in my head, it pops up the composer, and I go, it's Debussy. I'm watching Jeopardy, as I do most nights. And what's the clue? This is the same night, like within an hour and a half. What's the clue? The music that I have just heard on this commercial that I've just closed my eyes and relished and savored. And the answer was, what is Debussy?
Huh.
Right, the composer. This is about probably 4 years ago. I was reading Angels and Demons. Dan Brown. I'm in the book where it's explaining about matter and antimatter, and then that the scientist man, he creates antimatter, and his daughter creates the cylinder that the antimatter has to be stored in with the negative polarizing magnets, and in this cylinder, right? I close the book, I turn off my light, turn on Coast to Coast as I do every night, and you had a guest on, and what is she talking about? Immediately, it's like straight into it. Matter, antimatter, creating this cylinder, having to store it in there, and the opposite magnets.
You can't get away from the synchronicity, Kathleen.
I know. Is it not? I mean, these things are so obscure and so rare, and they just keep coming, and it's just, like, unbelievable. But to me, what they are, I call them demonstrations, and I feel that they're demonstrations in the power of my thoughts and my words and the emotions that are back those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
And obviously, you're very intuitive. You're very connected. You're not one of those people who's going to only have an event happen every now and then. It sounds like, you know, there. And again, I refer to singing. Everybody can sing, but not everybody can sing well. It's almost like a talent, and you've obviously developed it a lot more so than other people. You're aware of these things happening all the time, so more of them are going to happen to you.
So true, so true. The name of the work by Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. When we come right back, who's behind the secret door?